God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the fifth day of July, 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. It's Youth Night, so we have special music from our youth group members, Abby Farney, then the Patrick family, and then the sermon from one of our youth members, Brother Trevor Kelsey. Will you be afraid, or will you be obedient? The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, when your kingdom comes, remember me. Like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done? With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, there are no merits to
Like to thank the Lord for all he's done in my life. Just excited for getting to go to Bible college in August. Just for him, for his calling on my life, calling to preach. Just excited. And also want to thank Brother Lynn for giving me the opportunity to preach. I told him I would like to preach a full message before I went to Heartland, just so I can have the experience of all I've ever done is 15-minute message. And so, which is bad news for you, because you get me for the whole time. Instead, usually you get, you know, someone else after I get done. But nope, you got me for the whole service. So, if you have your Bibles, you're going to be in Acts chapter number 9. Acts and chapter number 9. I remember when I was a very little kid, very little, I was a very picky eater. You can ask my parents, even ask some of my friends. I eat everything plain. But back then, I was picky. I mean, very. My diet consisted of chicken nuggets and cheese and crackers. I mean, that's what I ate. There was no vegetables, for sure. I mean, my parents were trying to get me to eat new things all the time. They would try to make me eat vegetables, and I'm sure some of you did the same thing I did. I'd take, you know, my spoon, and I would take my my vegetables, and I'd spread it around my plate to make it look like I ate it. But I really didn't eat any of it. But, you know, I even got creative, and I would hide my green beans under my mashed potatoes and hoping that my parents wouldn't find it. But they would find it, so that only worked a few times. But one day I told my parents that, let's go to McDonald's, and I'm going to get a cheeseburger. I mean, that was a big moment in the early life of Trevor Kelsey. I mean, a cheeseburger. And so we get to McDonald's, and, you know, my mom's tearing up because she can cook something else besides chicken nuggets. And so we get there, and I order my cheeseburger, and we sit down to eat it. And, you know, I'm sure my parents probably had their cameras ready because, like I said, it was a big moment. And so I opened my wrapper with my cheeseburger, but there was something weird with my cheeseburger. I don't know if your cheeseburgers look like this, but mine had meat on it. And I wasn't expecting that. I mean, we're assuming it was meat because it was McDonald's. And so there was some brown substance on my cheeseburger. And I was like, I am not eating that, that's for sure. I mean, so needless to say, I didn't eat that cheeseburger that day. And my mom had to cook me some more chicken nuggets and cheese and crackers. And so that was my excuse for not eating that cheeseburger, because there was something on there that I didn't expect. I didn't expect there to be some meat on there, so I didn't eat it. And so, you know, just like my parents were always trying to get me to eat some new things. And, you know, but the Lord, He always has, there's a command that He has given us, whether it be a general command or specific command. There's a command for us that He's given us. He's given everybody. But we tend to make excuses for why we can't do what the Lord's commanded us to do. But, you know, regardless of that excuse that we make, we still have to respond, and we have to make a decision if we're going to do it or if we're not going to do it. And so tonight we're going to talk about the command that God gives us, and then how we tend to make excuses, but then we still have to carry out, and we either do it or we don't do it. So if you'll please stand. We'll begin reading in verse 10 of Acts chapter number 9. The Bible says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.' And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just preach your word, Lord. I pray that you'll please give me clarity of thought, Lord, and just bless this message. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, let me get you caught up real quick where we are in this story. What got us to where we're going to talk about Ananias tonight. What happened first was Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he had a plan. He was going to persecute Christians, and that was his plan. But something happened on Saul's way to Damascus. The Lord appeared to Saul at Damascus, and praise the Lord, Saul got saved. And so his plan changed. So the first thing after Saul got saved is God told Saul to go to Damascus. And Saul didn't make any excuses. Saul went to Damascus. And this is where we get to Ananias. Okay, if you'll notice with me and look with me at the command that God gave Ananias. If you'll look in verse 11 real quick. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Okay, so the Lord's command for Ananias was to go see Saul and to restore him his vision. But just like God gave Ananias a command. God gives each and every one of us a command. Now, some of them are general commands, and some of them are specific commands. Some general commands, you know, God calls each and every one of us to live a life of holiness. He calls us to be separate from the world, to be different. And in 1 Peter 1:16, it says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." So the Lord wants us to live a life that is holy. Another one, you got the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So the Great Commission, God wants us to live by those verses. He wants us to be a witness to this world. And another one, God wants us to live a life of faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful to the things of Him. I've heard pastors say it before, you got your basic Christianity. When you get saved, there's some things that God wants you to grow in. He wants you to grow in your giving. He wants you to be faithful in giving, witnessing, Bible reading, praying, and attending your church attendance. God wants you to grow in those things. That's the five. That's basic Christianity. If you're saved, those are things that you should grow in automatically because that's basic Christianity. But those general commands are for everyone. That's for me. That's for you. But God also has some specific commands that He gives certain people. Now, He calls some people to preach. He calls some people to the mission field. I mean, so those commands aren't for everybody. But when I think of being called to the mission field, the first person that comes to my mind is Jonah. God gave Jonah a specific command to go to Nineveh. And he told him what He wanted him to say. He wanted to go to Nineveh and preach to them and tell them that if you don't turn away from your wickedness, God's going to wipe you out. He's going to utterly destroy you. And so that was Jonah's specific command. And you know, right there in our passage, we see Ananias had a specific command from the Lord. And now we talked about it earlier. His specific command was to go see Saul. And so even though God gives commands, have you ever found yourself? I know I have. I found myself making excuses why I can't do what the Lord's commanded me to do, whether it be the general command or the specific command. I found myself doing that. You know, I was thinking of, you know, why do we make excuses for not doing what the Lord's commanded? You know, I came up with a few reasons. One, we don't do what the Lord wants us to because of fear. We're not sure what's going to happen, and so we fear, which is basically a lack of trust. Another one, pride. You know, God, you want me to do that? I don't think so. And then another one, maybe we have other plans for our life than what God has for our life. And I was thinking of, you know, why Ananias, what was his excuse for not doing what, for making an excuse? I don't think he made his excuse because he was prideful. I don't think so. And I don't think it was because he had other plans for his life. I think he made his excuse out of fear. There was definitely some fear there because, you know, Saul was the one who persecuted Christians. And Saul killed Christians. And Saul, it said that he had the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on the name of the Lord. I'm thinking, if I'm Ananias, I'm a Christian, I don't want to go see the person who kills Christian, who persecutes them. I mean, there's some fear right there. And who knows? I mean, the Bible doesn't say, but, you know, maybe possibly Ananias himself had been persecuted by Paul or from Saul at some point. Or maybe he had some friends and some family members who had been killed or persecuted by Saul. I mean, so you don't know. I mean, so there's some fear there. But one thing I see is this fear. Looking at this passage, I came up with three different kinds of fear. I see fear of the unknown. Ananias had no idea what was going to happen. For all he knew, Saul could have killed him when he went to go see Saul. God didn't say, "Now here's what's going to happen." He just said, "Go." And Ananias had no idea. I mean, because looking at Saul's past, what did he do? He persecuted Christians. And so, I mean, you're going to fear the unknown. And a lot of times, God gives us commands, whether it be the general commands or the specific commands, and, you know, we won't do it because we don't know what's going to happen. And we won't do it because we want to know what's going to happen. And Brother, let me come down here just real quick so I can illustrate something. Brother Skelly did this illustration at church camp, and I'm going to try to do it the best I can, with a path. We're all on a path. And God lights our path, as it says, He's the light unto our path. And so God shows us what He wants us to be, or shows us His command. And so He gives us this command. We'll use a general command, the general command of being holy. God wants us to live a life of holiness. And so the life of holiness, we've got to walk down this path. But, you know, too many times we won't leave this spot because we don't know what's through this area. And we're like, God, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm staying right here until You show me what's over there. And so too many times we won't leave this spot, even though God's got good things over there. And so we stand here, and God shows us what we need to know when we need to know it. Too many times we want to know what the end result is. But, you know, in all reality, we probably don't really want to know what we might have to go through. We might have to go through some suffering and persecution. If God's called us to be commanded us to live a life of holiness in our schools and in our jobs, there's going to be some suffering and persecution. I mean, it's not going to be an easy road, but you know what? God still commands us to do that. And we have to go down that path. You know, God wants us to obey Him. He wants us to trust Him. And, you know, Ananias, when he started to, you know, fear of the unknown, even though all God told him was to go. That's all God told Ananias. And that, you know, just like He told Ananias to go, God just wants us to do what He's commanded us to. He wants us to obey Him, and He wants us to trust Him. Because all fear really is the lack of trust in the Lord. And we need to trust Him. Another fear I thought of is fear of change. This is a big one. Change. That's a big word. But a lot of times, God wants to do some good things in your life, but you won't let Him because, or we won't let Him because we don't want to change where we're at. We're comfortable. We're in a comfort zone. We get in a routine, and we don't want to change. I used to hate change. I mean, I really did. But the Lord's had to do a work in my life and my heart in this area. My family and I, we used to live in Tulsa. My dad was the associate pastor and then became the interim pastor at Southwest Baptist in Tulsa. And, you know, to be honest, I loved it there. I really did. I had great friends. I loved my church. Had a great school. I mean, I was comfortable. Let's just put it like that. I would have been content staying there. But my dad comes to us and says, the Lord's moving us to Kansas City. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me, man? I mean, because I didn't want to move. I mean, I had everything I wanted right there in Tulsa. But needless to say, when we were looking for houses, let me just show you how bad of an attitude I have. I'm sure my dad can remember this because I know I do. We were looking at houses, and my dad would ask me, McKenna, and Reagan, you know, if we liked that house that we looked at. And McKenna and Reagan, you know, I like it. Of course, they're like, oh, man, I get my own room. And I was like, man, I hated it. I don't want to move. I'm not moving. But needless to say, regardless of my opinion, we still moved to Kansas City. And so found myself in Kansas City and, you know, began to like it. I mean, began to get comfortable again. Began to find a routine. And, you know, just when I started to get comfortable, Pastor Waterloo calls, and we find ourselves here in Ponca City. But, well, this may come as a surprise to you, but I didn't want to move here either. But, I mean, I had a great school. I went to Blue Ridge Christian School. It was a great school. I mean, it was like the best Christian school that I think I've ever attended. And had some great friends, but the Lord had other plans for our lives. And so we moved here. And you know what? Ponca City wasn't that bad. I began to like it. I actually began to love it. But so I say all that to say that we think change is bad. But sometimes God's got to bring some change in our life in order for Him to do some good things in our life. And so, I mean, I truly believe that, I mean, the Lord can work in lives. But I truly believe that if God would not have moved me and my family from Tulsa to Kansas City, from Kansas City to here, you know, I don't think I would have the same calling to preach that I do now. I mean, because I think God puts you in places. He had to bring me through that change in order for me to actually hear His calling. And so I just thank the Lord for that. I mean, because change is good. I mean, we all get the impression that, oh man, change is horrible. We don't like change. But really, it may be tough at first, but you know what? It all works out for the good. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose." So even though change can be tough, it all works out for the good. Another fear that I came up with is fear of man. This is a big one. God wants us to do some, he commands us to do some things, but we won't do it because we fear what others might think of us if we do it. If you'll flip over to Exodus real quick, Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to just take a brief look at Moses. Moses feared the Israelites instead of fearing the Lord. If you're there, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it out on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." This is where God's telling Moses to go to Egypt and set his people free from the bondage and the suffering and persecution that they are going through in Egypt. And so God appears unto Moses and tells him what to do, but Moses says, "God, they won't believe me. They're not going to believe me. When I say that you spoke to me, you appeared unto me, they're not going to believe me." He began to fear what others might think rather than fearing God. And so God showed him all these signs. He made his rod a snake and made it back to normal. And then he made his hand full of leprosy, as it says later on in the chapter. He restores it back to normal. And he gives them all these signs, and he says that they will believe you. But you know what? That's not good enough for Moses. Moses still makes another excuse of, "Well, I don't speak very well. I'm of a slow tongue." Moses is making all these excuses, but all the Lord wanted him to do was to go to Egypt. But he feared man instead of fearing God. We've talked about commands a lot, but God commands us to do some things. The general commands, living a life of holiness. And we won't do it because we fear what others think of us. I know, Brother Lynn, we've all talked about, the youth just got back from youth camp. And the Lord spoke to almost, if not all of us, at camp. And it was just a great week of camp. And the Lord, if he spoke to you at camp, he gave you some commands that he wanted you to do, you got to do them. Don't make excuses, because I know at the teenagers this age, it's hard, because this fear of man is really hard, because a lot of teens, we'll try to just fit in. We don't want to, I'm going in my freshman year of high school. I don't want to look like an idiot. So we try to fit in. But you know what? Who cares what people think if, we read our Bible in class? Let's face it. When you open a Bible in class, people might not directly look at you, but it draws attention because it's out of the ordinary. But God wants us to live a life of holiness, and so we ought to not care what people think. We ought to just continue to serve the Lord and fear God rather than fear man. I wrote down just a few verses. Psalm 118:6. The Bible says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" If you're saved, the Lord's on your side. What can man do unto you? The Lord is God is a big God. He's Almighty God. What can man do to you? Nothing. I like this one. Matthew 10:28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Why would we fear man? Man can't do anything to you. God. Why not fear God? He can do a whole lot more than what man can do to you. So we ought to not fear man. Fear God. So we've talked about God's commands that he gives us, whether it be the general ones or the specific ones. And then we talked about why we make excuses. and some of the excuses we make. But you know what? We still have to decide if I'm going to do what the Lord wanted me to do or if I'm not going to do it. Am I going to be obedient to it or am I going to be disobedient to it, to the Lord's command? When I think of a disobedient response, the person that comes to my mind is Jonah. We talked about him earlier in the sermon, but God gave him a specific command to go to Nineveh and to preach to them and tell them, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, I'm going to wipe you out. But you know what? Jonah didn't go to Nineveh at first. He went the other direction. He went to Tarsus. I mean, he went the total opposite direction. He bought a ticket for a boat, and you know, the Lord knew where he was. The Lord still wanted him to go to Nineveh, so he caused this big storm to go to form where the boat was. And so the crewmen of the boat figured out, because Jonah told them, you know, it's the storm is because of me. I'm running from the Lord, and I'm not doing what the Lord wanted me to do. So he said, throw me overboard. And so they threw him overboard, and, you know, instantly the storm went away. And so God prepared a great fish to come and swallow Jonah up. And while Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he repented. And then so when he repented, the Lord allowed the fish to vomit him up onto the shore. And so as soon as he got on the shore, he went to Nineveh. But you may say, well, you know, he still obeyed the Lord. Well, you know, he may have done what the Lord wanted him to do, but let's remember this, delayed obedience is still disobedience. It doesn't matter when you do it. You ought to do it the first time instead of having the Lord have to come get you and make you do it, because delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I think of obedient responses. I think of a couple people. I think of Isaiah. He had such a spirit that, you know, he wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And Isaiah 6:8, it says, here am I, send me. I mean, that ought to be our spirit. When the Lord wants us to do something, we ought to say, here am I, send me, Lord. I mean, we ought to be willing to do what the Lord commanded us to do. And I also think of the person in our passage, you flip back over to Acts. Think of Ananias. He had an obedient response. He did what the Lord wanted him to do. The Lord's command for for Ananias was to go see Saul. And you know what? He went and saw Saul. Look with me in verse 17. The Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Lord said, go, and Ananias went. He did that which the Lord commanded him to do. He was obedient. So my question for you tonight is, who are you going to be? Are you going to be like Jonah, who's disobedient? And do I need to remind you, even though he did do what the Lord wanted him to do, what happened? What did the Lord have to do to get him to do what he wanted, what God wanted him to do? Or are you going to be like Isaiah? Here I am. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Are you going to have that kind of spirit to do what the Lord wants you to do? Or are you going to, or like Ananias, the Lord said go and he went. Are you going to have that kind of response, an obedient response to the Lord's command? You want to know how to conquer the fear that we have, why we don't do what the Lord wants us to, and how you want to know how to conquer that and just obey the Lord? It's simple. Just trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those are some powerful verses. Trust in the Lord, and he will direct thy paths. I don't know what the Lord's commanding you. We're all commanded with the general commands. We ought to all live a life of holiness, one that is separated to the Lord, separated from the world. And we ought to all be faithful, and we ought to all be good witnesses for the Lord. But, you know, there's also those specific commands. And I don't know if the Lord's dealing with you for full-time service. I don't know. But if he is, it's better to do it the first time, surrender to his will, than the second time. Because, I mean, look at the life of Jonah. Look what he had to do to him. And it's much easier to do it the first time than the second time. And so, my question for you is, you know, what's your excuse? I mean, if God's commanding you to do something, why not do it? The excuses, they're not good enough. I mean, don't let that hinder you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, once again to preach, God. I pray that you'll please just help us to take this sermon, Lord, and apply it, Lord, and just help us when you give us a command, Lord, that we will be obedient, Lord, to your will, Lord, and just bless this invitation, God, in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with the message from our youth member, Brother Trevor Kelsey. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by and visit us just 1 mile north of Ponca at the intersections of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.